message and a blessing from Brother Ranger Paul.
I'm sure very happy, brethren, that the Lord permitted me to be here with you this day. I'm always glad of an opportunity to serve the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. We thought today we would look at meat in due season from a text, Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? And the next two verses read, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Then for emphasis, this was recorded again in Luke. We have this message from our Lord in two of the Gospels. Or in Luke 12, verses 38, 37, and 38. We are told of those servants rather than that servant. And then in verses 42 to 44 of that servant. Luke 12, 37 and 38. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Our Lord, as was said this morning, coming in 1874 as a spirit being, a divine being, not being visible to mankind, not being visible to the footstep followers who were walking in the narrow way, he found it essential to have someone on earth to represent him, to particularly deliver his message. So in Luke 12, 42 to 44, we are told again about this one servant. The Lord said, who then shall be that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. These scriptures referring to that good and faithful servant apply to our Pastor Russell. I too recognize Charles C. Russell as my pastor yet, though he passed from his earthly pilgrimage in 1916. Our Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Or if Pastor Russell was that good and faithful steward, it was essential that he be faithful during all the time of his ministry. And it is our firm belief that he was faithful to the very end of his earthly ministry. We believe that his mind was clear and his thoughts very concise as regarding the plan, and becoming more and more concise and more clear as he approached the end of his earthly journey. So it is prophesied of him in Ezekiel 9 and 11, I have done as thou hast commanded me. At the end of his course, it was true that the pastor had done all that the Lord had commanded him to do. Looking back now, I wonder why it is that I and many of the rest of you rather thought that there was going to be a seventh volume after our pastor passed away beyond the veil. Because this prophecy says that he had done as the Lord had commanded him. It is true that Pastor Russell had thought he would write a seventh volume of the studies in the scriptures on Ezekiel and Revelations, but the Lord took him home. As I look back, it seems that we should not even have expected a seventh volume after our pastors went home. As it is, there are six volumes of studies in the scriptures. And as has been said twice before from this platform this day, they are just as good now as they were the day they were written. Before we go on with our talk about the meeting this season, we'd like to bring you a report of a convention held in August 20 to 24, a five-day convention held in Chicago, Illinois. There were 360 present at this convention, about equally divided between brothers and sisters. Of the 360 present at this convention in Chicago, 70 of them were baptized. Wouldn't that be wonderful, to be present at a convention where 70 brethren were baptized, symbolizing their consecration to death, to serve the Lord even unto death? And we might refer to weather conditions in Chicago at the time of this convention. I wasn't there. I happened to be in the western part of Iowa at that time, and the weather was very moderate for that time of the year, not at all oppressive. Another point we might mention, that at this convention, the discourses were an hour and a half long. They really like to hear the truth. Now, you're probably wondering just when this convention was held, why you hadn't heard of it before. Well, some of you hadn't been born yet. This was held in the summer of 1893. But I do remember about the weather in western Iowa. The first thing I remember that I can tie to a date was the day that Mother returned home from this convention. So I do have a slight memory connected with this convention in Chicago in August 20 to 24 in 1893. It was interesting to note the invitation that was sent out in July 1st issue of the Watchtower. Who are invited? That all the Millennial Dawn and Watchtower readers. Perhaps we should stop here to state that the studies in the scriptures as they were originally put out as the Millennial Dawn series. And later the name was changed to Studies in the Scriptures. So our pastor here, when he says all the Millennial Dawn readers, he was referring to Studies in the Scriptures. All who are trusting in our Lord Jesus as their Redeemer, their corresponding price, their substitute, and especially all such who are fully consecrated, body and soul and spirit, to the Redeemer's service, are cordially invited to come. Now notice there, he says, all such who are fully consecrated. He first had enumerated all those who believe in the Lord Jesus as their Redeemer, but especially those who are fully consecrated. He was making the distinction there between those who had come into the court condition, who had recognized that Jesus died as a sacrifice, and those who had gone on and made a complete consecration of the Lord. Many are called, many have recognized Jesus as a sacrifice. A sacrifice for sin, for Adam. But they did not go on. Many of them did not go on to complete consecration. As you will note carefully as you read Pastor Russell's works, you will find that when he means the fully consecrated or the completely consecrated ones, he almost invariably says so. When he says consecrated, usually the thought is those who have come to recognize that Jesus died for Adam as a Redeemer. They were consecrated to a righteous life only. As long as they were recognizing Jesus as a Redeemer, not necessarily their Redeemer, but as a Redeemer. They consecrated themselves to live a righteous life, and there have been many, many of those who did not go on. And the only purpose for giving them that first knowledge was that they might go on to a complete consecration, even unto death. And this goes on to say, a comfortable bed and three substantial meals for $1 per day for each person. Imagine that. And he said that if you intend to go on to go to the exposition, the Columbian Exposition in Chicago, it would be necessary to figure out another dollar or a dollar and a half a day. Couldn't even get started for that today. Then in the August 15th Tower, an open letter printed in the Watchtower to call porters as to who they should invite to this convention. And he tells the call-porters that, please remember that only those who believe in Christ as man's Redeemer, substitute, corresponding Christ, are at all invited. For what communion hath light with darkness, or believers with unbelievers? Make a distinction, therefore, between the clean and the unclean, between those who stand washed by faith in the precious blood, and those who stand uncleansed in the filthy rags of their own righteousness. Don't invite everybody to this convention, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no convention report of that convention, as we had convention reports from 1906 through 1916. But those of you who have heard Pastor Russell speak several times will know the certainty that he spoke of the ransom. Did you ever hear Pastor Russell speak when he didn't bring in the ransom price? And would the ransom would have been the reason or the necessity for the ransom? The creation of Adam and the fall and the condemnation. Adam being created a perfect man in the garden and falling or sinning against God, disobeying, placed under condemnation and death. Then also he would have brought in about the sin offering, about the footstep followers, those who were fully consecrated to walk in Jesus' steps. They too lay down their lives, not as a part of the ransom price. Jesus alone could do that. But that they follow in his steps, and that they will have a share in the blessing of the world of mankind in the millennial age. That they are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That they will share his life, his plane of being, the divine plane. And he would have brought out about the nature distinct, about there being this human race upon this earthly plane. Upon the earthly beings. And there was a divine plane where originally only Jehovah existed, where later Michael, the archangel, after having been tested here upon the earth in the flesh, he was raised to the divine plane. You remember Jesus' words? As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And grace upon grace, the 144,000 are going to be raised to that same divine plane. Nature is distinct and separate, never combined. Jesus on the earth was not part human and part divine. And Jesus now in heaven is not part divine and part human. Upon the earth he was a man of the earth, earthy, not Adam's seed. A perfect man, but a perfect human being. Now he is a perfect divine being. Then there would have been thought about the three principal covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the law covenant, and the new covenant. And the thought expressed in this convention in 1893 upon the covenants was slightly different from our understanding of the covenants today. There are many of you present today who will remember that the light upon the covenant became clearer and clearer starting with 1909. We were interested to look this up. It has been in my memory that the light on the covenant began to clear up in the watchtowers in 1907. That was about the time I began to take an active interest in the truth reading myself. But I looked back through 1907, and there was only one principal article on the covenants in 1907, and it was clearly stated. In 1908, there was no principal article upon the covenants, but in 1909, every issue of the Watchtower, twice a month, had an article on some phase of the covenant. It became a very important issue in 1909. The light of the truth was becoming brighter and brighter, as the Lord had promised, that the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Then, too, another subject that would have been discussed at that convention was the presence of the Lord. That was one of the important doctrines. That was one of the doctrines that brought the truth clearly to Brother Russell's mind when he saw that the Lord was present as a spirit being. And this was based upon chronology. So there would have been some talk upon chronology there. And all of these thoughts would have led up to the conclusion that by the end of the millennial age, mankind would have been brought up the highway of holiness, brought up to human perfection as Adam was perfect in the Garden of Eden. And there they would go on trial before the Heavenly Father, the mediatorial work having been completed. And then throughout eternity, there would be no more sin or dying or death in the universe. That throughout eternity, all intelligent beings would honor and serve Jehovah God. So we read in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." The purpose of this eternity is that they might gain some knowledge of Jehovah. Even the 144,000 who will be upon the divine plane will never know all that Jehovah knows. They too must live throughout eternity if they are going to know Jehovah. And if that is true of the 144,000 upon the divine plane, how much more mankind upon the earth? They will not know nearly so much. But if they are going to continue to know Jehovah God, they must live throughout eternity. And Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life throughout eternity. Not always immortal life, we know. For the world of mankind, for the angelic host, other than divine, they will still be mortal. Only the divine beings will have life within themselves. Then in the report, a little report of the convention in the September 1 watchtower, Brother Russell made this little comment. "One thought particularly impressed throughout the convention was the necessity for a heart religion, and that any who have this should be and will be glad to get as much intellectual knowledge of the divine will and plan as possible. But that those who cultivate merely head knowledge, and whose hearts and lives do not accord, will surely be permitted to follow their own or other people's false reasonings into outer darkness and confusion in which the world and the nominal Christians are at present groping." A heart religion, not only a head religion, Knowledge is very essential, brother. Do not neglect to grow in knowledge. But grow in your heart religion too. Where in the Bible did our Lord Jesus or the Heavenly Father tell you or me or anyone of his children to sit down after he said to sit down and count the cost? Sit down and count the cost? Yes. If you decide that you can pay the price, you are willing to pay the price of full consecration even unto death, do not sit down again. You remember the picture of the tabernacle? Do you remember that bench that was put in there for those who wanted to sit down? I don't see any bench in my tabernacle. There wasn't any there. There was no place provided in the tabernacle for the priest to sit down. We are to walk in the narrow way, a way to run in the race for the prize of the high calling. We aren't even to stand still. If anyone says that they are just going to sit down and fold their hands and love the brethren, you can just wonder if they are going to make their calling and their election sure. For there is no instruction to sit down, to stop. But inasmuch as our pastor said that it was stressed throughout the convention the necessity for a heart religion, it is very probable that Galatians 5:22-25 was used. There Paul is speaking of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And in connection with this also would have been 2 Peter 1:5-8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, our brethren this morning told us that we ought to have something in our minds. We shouldn't just have an empty head, for an empty head is an invitation for Satan and his demons to come in. Think on these things. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Set your affections on things above. Brethren, that takes conscious effort to do that. We can't just go along with the current and set our affections on things above. In fact, if we are going along with the current, we're going in the wrong direction. We should be going contrary to the current about us. It takes conscious effort on our part to keep our affections set on things above, not on things of the earth. Also, it's interesting to note that Peter and Paul together here name 12 items of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, love exultant. Peace, love and repose. Long-suffering, love enduring. Gentleness, love in society. Goodness, love in action. Faith, love on the battlefield of life. Meekness, love in resignation. Temperance or moderation, love and training. Knowledge, love instructed. And patience, love submissive to God's will. And brotherly kindness or filial love is love responsive. And the sum of these 11 is a word that is translated often charity or love, agape love. The sum of perfect love. And these 12 items are mentioned by the apostles Paul and Peter. And it is interesting to note here that in the parable of the pounds, that one had 12 pounds. Do you recall that one had 12 pounds? He was given a pound to trade with. He gained 10 pounds by trading. To him was given the pound that was taken away from the one who had buried his pound. He started with one, he gained 10, another was given to him, making 12. The fruits of the Spirit. We are to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. That is what the parable of the pounds tells us about. Build ourselves up in the most holy faith. On the other hand, the parable of the talents tells us we should serve others. With all the talents that we have, we should serve those about us, especially the household of faith. It is essential, brethren, that while we are serving the brethren with one hand, we should build ourselves up on the other hand. We might note that the talent was worth 16 times the amount of the pound. In other words, we should study 16 times before we are qualified to go out and help someone else once. It's also worthy of note in the parable of the pounds, different from the parable of the talents, that it was in the parable of the pounds, as ye gained in the pounds, be ye ruler over 5 cities or be ye ruler over 10 cities. Our place in the body of Christ will be governed, we believe, by the way we build ourselves up in the most holy faith. It is also essential to serve our brethren, but we must do both. These points are meat in due season. If there were meat in due season back there in 1893, there were still meat in due season in 1916. And there are still meat in due season in 1955 on the third day of September in Seattle. Or in any other place where there are some of the Lord's children, these things are meat in due season. The writings of our pastor, as in the studies in the scriptures, and in the reprints. They aren't perfect. Some places there are typographical errors. Some places there might be some other error, but these things are the meat of due season. These are the things which the Lord gave to us through his good and faithful steward, our Pastor Russell. Now we would like to look for a few minutes at a verse, Hebrews 2:1. We think this verse quite enlightening. Hebrews 2:1, the King James translation reads, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Very important, is it? Don't let them slip. We must retain those things. Oh, by that we don't mean that we can remember all of them. We have this treasure in earthen vessels and we can't remember. It is true that they do slip out of our mind. We forget. That's the reason we have to keep studying and studying and studying. I remember back in 12, 13, 14, 15, we made a point of reading 12 pages a day in the studies and scriptures. We read all 6 volumes through in a year. It's just as important today, brethren, to keep your minds filled with these things as it was then. The Hebrews 2:1, the Diglot translation. "On this account, it behooves us to attend more earnestly to the things heard, lest we should ever let them glide away." Well, I looked over in the interlineary in the Diglot, and it said, "Lest perhaps we should glide away." Lest perhaps we should glide away. It's quite a different thought. So we looked in other translations. The Revised Version, "Lest happily we should drift away from them." Rotherham, "For this cause it behooveth us with unwonted firmness to be holding fast unto the things that have been heard, lest at any time we drift away."
Dr. Patton, lest happily we drift away. Moffat, lest we drift away. Weymouth, for fear we should drift away from them. Revised Standard Version, lest we drift away from it. And Sir Fenn reads, for this reason, we ought especially to attend to what must be listened to, lest we should ever be drawn aside. Did you notice what Fenn said there? For this reason, we ought especially to attend to what must be listened to, lest we should ever be drawn aside. What must be listened to? The words of our Pastor Russell, that good and faithful steward. Those were the Lord's words to us through this steward. They must be listened to, brethren, if we are going to stay in the narrow way. Suppose we place this picture in the tabernacle. We, the footstep followers of Jesus, Spirit-begotten ones, continuing our sacrifice, are pictured in the holy condition. These translations of this verse says, take heed lest ye slip away. The golden candlestick is going to stay there. The table of showbread is going to stay there. Are we going to stay there, brethren? Take heed lest we slip away. If we slip away out of the holy, that means that we have lost our crown. I would like to mention here Deuteronomy 24:15. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and set his heart upon it. Lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be a sin unto thee. Now this workman being spoken of here was not setting his heart on this. He was going to hoard it up for a year or two so that he could buy something from the show window. This wage was his daily sustenance. If he didn't get his wage tonight, he couldn't eat tomorrow and he would be unable to work. Perhaps a more literal rendering here, instead of setting, he has set his heart upon it, his life depends upon it. Brethren, our life depends upon our holding on to these things which we have heard. As this is our legacy from the Lord, the present Lord, and from his good and faithful steward, and the steward was to pay the penny, we suggest the thought that instead of this penny which the steward of the vineyard parable was to pay to us, it is the food itself. This meat in due season, which was provided for the household of faith, I am suggesting perhaps that this is the penny. And if we continue to feed upon this meat in due season, which the steward had furnished to us, then we have lived through the next day. If we failed to continue to eat of this meat in due season, we have seen thousands, yes, thousands fall by the wayside because they did not keep these things in their minds. May the Lord help us, dear friends, to be faithful to the end so that we may meet again in that one-day convention that lasts 1,000 years.